Let us commence our worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 46. It's the hymn 46, though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us whatever betide. The scripture assures us the Lord will provide. The hymn 46, we're keeping our seats while we sing. Just bow together in prayer. Let us still our hearts before the Lord and ask for his presence with us this morning. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege that is ours of coming into thy presence. We thank thee that we serve a risen Savior. We rejoice this morning that thou art seated at the Father's right hand. We thank you this morning for the words that we have been singing, the Lord will provide. We thank thee that thou didst provide for us salvation so rich, so full, and so free. We thank you, Lord, that when we came and we failed before thee, acknowledging our guilt, looking unto thee, that we were not disappointed. We rejoice that thou hast provided a full salvation. Our sins have been scattered. We have been clothed in the perfect righteousness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that every new day that thou dost provide fresh strength to walk with thee and to serve thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst enable us in these days of darkness to stand fast and firm for thee by knowing that thou wilt provide words, provide strength, provide wisdom even for the battle. And Lord, we come to Thee this morning, and we thank Thee that we're gathered in Thy house. We thank Thee for the health and strength that Thou hast provided so that we can worship Thee in this manner. And we ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst come among us this morning, even as we read the Scriptures, that we will know Thy presence, that we will feel Thy voice even speaking to us through Thy precious Word. We ask, Lord, that as we come to open up Thy Word, Lord, break up the hard and fallow ground in our hearts. We pray that we might receive the benefit of Thy Word. We recognize that even in a time of great drought, when the rain comes, the ground is so hard that the water runs off and benefits it little or nothing. Oh God, we pray that that would not be the case with us this morning, but that Thy Word might sink deep within our hearts, and that we might, even as a result of hearing Thy Word, become more productive for Thee in the days that lie ahead. Lord, we do remember this morning Thy children here and to the very ends of the earth. We think even of the land of Nepal and how that even COVID seems to be rapidly spreading through that land and even affecting the little churches. And we cry to Thee, O God, that Thou wouldst keep Thy hand upon Thy servants, that Thou wouldst comfort Thy children, and that even in the midst of the darkness, Lord, that Thou would be pleased even to reach down and to save many precious souls. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves now to Thee this morning. Touch our hearts, cleanse us, Lord, from every defilement. Give us that right thought of thoughts even this morning, and help us in all that we do to glorify Thy great name. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. We're turning our Bibles this morning to the Old Testament, and we're coming to the book of Judges and to the chapter 3, the book of Judges and the chapter 3. The book of Judges, the chapter 3, we're going to commence our reading at the verse 14, but we'll just be reading selected verses in the passage. But we're commencing Judges chapter 3, verse 14. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. Then skipping down to verse 21, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly, and the haft also went in after the blade, and the flak closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Then verse 27, and it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with them from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Amen. We know that God will bless this reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage of the service, I'm going to ask our brother, Mr. Ian Todd, to come and to make the necessary announcements.
Well, good morning, everyone. You're very warmly welcome along to our morning service here in God's house today. I'd like to give a very warm welcome to those listening online as well. You're most welcome as you join with us. And may the Lord bless us as we listen to his word and as we worship him here this morning. These are the announcements for the incoming week. So first of all, this evening's service will take place here in the church and also online at 7 p.m. as normal. And God willing, the Reverend Murray will be the speaker this evening. That service will be preceded, of course, by the time of prayer at 6:15, and that will be held in the Minor Hall. Today is Audiovisual Fund Sunday, and please do continue to support this work. You might have noticed that we now have new speakers on the walls. There's a camera over on this wall here. We have a TV screen on the back, at the back on the balcony there, and a projector as well. So things are progressing apace. We have new equipment in the recording studio as well. So we do thank you for your continued giving to that work. It is much appreciated, and hopefully we'll see the benefit of that in the coming days. The midweek meeting is on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Reverend Murray, God willing, will be the speaker this Tuesday. And after that meeting, there will be a short meeting of communicant members, and I'll say a little more about that after the service. Next week, the services will be at the normal times of 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m., each preceded by the time of prayer, 45 minutes before each service. Next Lord's Day will also be LTBS Sunday. Last week, we had a collection for the Whitfield College of the Bible, and the collection for the Whitfield came to £1,160. And we'd like to thank you once again for your support of the Whitfield College. The ordination and installation service for Mr. Glenn Wilkinson will be in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. That will be shown online this Friday, that's the 25th of June, at 8 p.m. The service may be viewed on the Londonderry Free Presbyterian YouTube channel. Unfortunately, attendance at the church itself is confined to named guests. So if you're interested in watching that service, that's this Friday at 8 p.m. on the Londonderry YouTube channel. This Saturday, that is June the 26th, there will be a drive-in mission for youth, which will be held on the Guildford Road out of Portadown at 7:30. This is organised by the Youth Council, and the preacher that evening will be the Reverend Thomas Martin, and there will also be an interview with Mr. Chris Killen. Then another announcement about a United Children's Camp of our Missionary Council, and that will be running. They will be running an online Zoom camp for children aged between 7 and 12. That camp will be held from Monday the 2nd of August to Friday the 6th of August, and the meetings run from 10 a.m. in the morning to 11:30 a.m. Those who wish to participate do have to register before the 30th of June. And if anyone is interested in registering their children for that camp, please contact either myself or the Reverend Murray. The latest Let the Bible Speak magazine is available, and they're sitting on the tables at each of the exits. Please feel free to take one of those. They are free, so do remember that on your way out this morning. I would just like to, if I might, re-advertise this book, which I mentioned a few months ago. It's entitled Go Through with God. It's written by the Reverend Stanley Barnes, and it's about a missionary called Emma Munn. This book is £6, and if you wish to get one, I think there are some sitting on each of the tables at the exit doors. Feel free to lift one of those as well and then see one of us about payment for that. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
Could I thank our brother for making those necessary announcements? And also, could I say, please do remember the congregational meeting here on Tuesday evening. Can I also take the opportunity this morning to inform the congregation that our brother, Mr. Matt Wiley, after 22 years of faithful service as clerk of session, has decided to stand down. He was only the second clerk of session to serve the congregation here. He will be remaining as an elder of the congregation. And on behalf of the congregation, I want to publicly thank our brother for the way he has faithfully and diligently carried out all of his duties. I know that when I came to this congregation, he went out of his way to make me feel welcome, and he has been over that time of great personal assistance. And he has shown great wisdom over the years. And I'm sure that we will have an opportunity at a later stage to say a little more, but I just want this morning to inform you and to thank our brother for his service and for his encouragement. Being clerk of session takes up a lot of time, and the elders often carry burdens that no one else knows. So I want to also say a word of thanks to his wife for her understanding and for her support to him over these many years. This leaving a vacancy, the Kirk session meeting on Wednesday evening, they unanimously appointed our brother, Mr. Ian Todd, to take on the position of clerk of session. And I want to assure our brother of our prayers, and I want to encourage you also to lift him up and to remember him also before the throne of grace in prayer. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the portion of Scripture which we read together, the book of Judges. Please open your Bibles to Judges chapter 3, and we're coming to the verse 31, Judges 3. But with our Bibles open, let's just stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for thy love and thy goodness towards us. We thank thee for thy hand even upon thy church, and for the blessings that thou hast so freely bestowed upon it over the years. We thank thee for our brother, Mr. Wiley, and for the way that he has given himself even to the position of clerk of this congregation. And we pray, Lord, that you would put your hand upon him and continue to be with him even as he serves as an elder of the congregation. We remember our brother, Mr. Todd, and we ask that as he takes up this position, that thou wouldst be with him, give him the time and the energy and wisdom that he'll need as well. And bless the whole Kirk session. We thank you for them, and we pray that thou wouldst guide them in the days that lie ahead as well. We thank thee, our Father, we have thy word, and we ask that as we return to thy word this morning, take away now the thoughts of today, the thoughts and worries of tomorrow, and we pray that thou wouldst open up thy word to our hearts. To that end, I ask thee, O God, for help. Bring to my mind that which thou would have us to say. Help us, Lord, to speak not in our own words, but in words of wisdom from thyself. So, Lord, help us, close us in with thyself, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning to the book of Judges and to the chapter 3. And I want to draw your attention this morning to one individual, and he's found in the closing verse of that chapter, Judges 3, verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. As we come to these verses, we find the Philistines sweeping across the borders of Canaan, destroying all that was in their path. We are told in chapter 5, the highways were unoccupied. The children of Israel were so tyrannized by their enemy that they were afraid to walk openly on the public roads, skulking under the cover of darkness. They were forced to hide beneath the trees, their cattle being run off. The Philistines also stole their corn, and they confiscated every means of defense. The fact that Shamgar used an ox goad to defend himself indicates there was not a sword or a spear in the entire land. Indeed, Deborah, speaking of her day, which was just a few years later, she said, There was not a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel. While Shamgar had no sword to defend himself, yet he, seeing the Philistines advancing, he refused to hide in the shadows. Standing by his plow, he taking his ox goad, which was a long, a slender stick with a metal pound, he slew 600 Philistines. The Lord having given him this field, he was going to plow it, plant it, and more than that, he was determined that he would harvest it. Nothing and no one would stop him. And you know, God has given to each one of us a spiritual harvest field to plow, breaking up the hard and fallow ground. We are to be sowing the good seed of the Word of God. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." They were to let nothing and no one stop them plowing the field that God had given to them. Not even physical hardship, deprivation, or even the burying of their dead. And you see, rather than skulking, we are to be sowing, openly cultivating the field that God has given to us, sowing the good seed of God's Word. Sometimes people will come to you and they'll say, "Well, God has given me no work to do." But you know, to every person, God has given neighbors. To every worker, he gives workmates. To every parent, he has given either a child or children. And rather than sitting back doing nothing, we are to be seeking to sow the good seed of the Word of God in their hearts. We're to be scattering the good seed of God's Word. And believer, this morning, rather than hiding away, rather than leaving our responsibilities, we're to be sowing, cultivating the field that God has given to you. Maybe he has given you a neighbor. Maybe he has given you workmates. You're to be seeking to sow the seed in their hearts. And so I want this morning to draw your attention to this man, Shamgar. I want you to notice firstly here the weakness he exhibited. He was not an Ehud or even an Othniel. In fact, only one verse is given to his entire life story. No sooner does he burst in upon the scene than he suddenly disappears again. But you notice here that he was a poor man. While a contemporary of Deborah and Barak, we read in verse 31, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." The name Shamgar here was not an Hebrew name. More than that, his father was called Anath after the Canaanite goddess of war. It seems that his family were either Canaanites or they in past generations had capitulated to paganism. And as such, he would have been despised by his own people. Rather than being an experienced soldier, he was a farmer. Going to battle, all that he had was an ox goad. Indeed, such was his weakness, we read there in verse 31. He also, or as it can be rendered, even he delivered Israel. And in those words, there is a note of surprise. Yet, despite his physical weakness, we find the Lord here taking him up and using him to deliver an entire nation. You see, in the hands of God, little becomes much. Taking nobodies who can do nothing, he is able to transform them into somebodies who can do everything. Indeed, in the New Testament, the multitude becoming hungry, that by the people beginning to faint, the disciples looking for refreshments, we read in John chapter 6, verse 9, There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. You notice here that he was only a lad. More than that, all that he had was five little loaves and two little fishes. It was just a lad's lunch. And yet, taking this little lad's lunch and putting it into the hands of Christ, it not only fed 5,000 men, but it fed their wives and their children. Better than that, there were 12 baskets left over. You see, while we may be ordinary, Christ is extraordinary. Working in us and working through us, there is nothing that he cannot do. Paddy's Allward was born in the north of London, 1902. Being converted, she wanted to go to the land of China and there to spread the gospel. She began to train, and the chairman of the Inland China Mission, seeing her progress, he told her that she had no future with the mission. Stunned, she refusing to give up, she cried out, "Oh God, here's me. Here's my Bible. Here's my money. Use us, God, use us." Shortly afterwards, she heard of a 73-year-old mission retiring and coming back to live in England. But coming back to England, she was unable to settle in England and going back to the land of China, and she wanted a companion to go with her. Hearing the news, Gladys Allward gladly took on the position, and she went back to the land of China. And thus became the beginning of the adventures of the woman known as the small woman. She was but a small woman. She was despised by many, and yet going forward, what a work she did for God. And you may have little in your hand this morning in regard to intellect or in regard to talents, but if only you take what you have and you put it into the hand of God, God is able to take you up, and God is able to use you to sow the seed of God's word and to see the lives of many changed. I often hear people say, "I want to do something for God." God doesn't want you to do something for him. God wants to do something through you. Are you tired, child of God, this morning of being inhibited in your labors for Christ? Then let the Lord inhabit you. Yes, you may be weak. Yes, you may be little in the eyes of friends, and your talents may seem insignificant. But here was God, and God was able to take a farmer. He was able to take a farmer with an ox goad and use him to deliver a nation. And I tell you today, if only you give what you have to God, God is able to take you. And God is able to use you. Not only was he a poor man, he was a prudent man. Recording the sequence of events, we read verse 31. "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines." The words "after him" take us back into the previous verses. There we read of another man, a man by the name of Ehud. Taking his sword, he plunged it into the belly of wicked King Eglon. And slaying him, he judged the nation of Israel for 80 years. And in coming after him, Shamgar was not only a farmer, but he was a judge. He was one who had judged the nation. And you see, before success, there must be a judging of our hearts before the Lord. Indeed, preparing the Corinthian believers for coming around the table, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The word "examine" there literally means to put on trial. Coming to the communion table, they were not only to be looking back to Calvary and looking forward to the coming of the Savior and looking around, towering for their brethren, but they were to look inward. There was to be that searching, that judging of their hearts before God. In fact, you'll discover here in the book of Judges that every time the judge died, the nation of Israel backslid. And you see, believer, where there is a failure in our part to judge our hearts, to judge our lives, we will then backslide. We will then drift away from the Lord. And where there is not a searching of the heart, there will be a spoiling of the heart. You'll begin to drift. You'll begin to backslide. One of the greatest mathematicians that ever lived was Pythagoras. And instructing his students, he always demanded that every night before they would go to their beds, they would sit down and that they would examine their lives. He taught them to ask themselves three questions. One, how did I succeed in my studies today? Two, could I have learned more? Three, is there something I neglected? And as a result, his students became eminent. And believer, if you're going to become eminent in the eyes of God, there needs to be that stopping, that stilling of your heart, that judging of your life every day. And asking yourself questions such as, have I done my best for Christ today? Is there anything in my life that I have neglected to do for the Lord? Is there something in my life and it's tainting my testimony? It's hindering me in the service of Christ. You see, if we're going to be deliverers, whether it's delivering a nation or delivering our neighbors or delivering our families, there must be that judgment, that judging of our hearts, that putting of ourselves, as it were, on trial before God. Oh, believer, take time to judge your heart. It's much easier judging somebody else's heart, but it's more necessary you judge your own heart and that you search your heart before God. Not only was he a prudent man, but notice he was a plowman. Rather than a soldier, we read verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. The fact that he had an ox goad indicates that he was by profession a plowman. And in turning his ox goad into a weapon of war, he was not here going to war for the sake of warring, but he was going to war for the right to plow, to plant his own field. His primary concern was not soldiering, but it was his God-given right to sow his field and to reap in a harvest. You see, the battle should never be an end in itself, but merely a means to an end. It should be that we have the right to plow and to sow the seed of the Word of God in men's hearts. Indeed, urging the men of his day to contend earnestly, or as the word means, to agonize for the faith. Jude then said in the verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. The reason they were going to battle was not merely to defeat the old apostate, but it was that they might save some. You see, when conflict becomes the end rather than the means to an end, we have lost the plot. We should be contending simply that we might have the opportunity of sowing and of saving some. There are some today and they are contenders. And they're only contenders. That is all that they ever do. When one controversy is over, they immediately look around to see if they can get another controversy so that they can enter into that controversy and fight that battle. They never put in or plant the gospel seed Don't get me wrong this morning. We are to be contenders for the faith. We are to be standing against sin wherever sin raises its ugly head. But our aim must be that we might plant the seed and that we might see some saved, won for Christ. And in contending, we must always search our heart. What's my motive? Is it that I might sow the gospel seed? He stood where he was and he used what he had when he could. And I wonder, child of God, today, are you standing where you are? Are you using the gifts and the talents that God has given? Are you seeking to plow the field, the home, the workplace that God has given? Are you seeking to win the lost for the Savior? Not only do we notice the weakness he exhibited and what encouragement that gives each of us. God can take us and God can use us. But I want you to notice, secondly, the weapon he employed. The Philistines confiscating their weapons. There was not a sword or a spear in the entire land. Taking the only thing he could, Shamgar reached out and he took his ox goad. The ox goad here speaks to us of this book, or it speaks to us of the Word of God. You notice here that it was a cleansing instrument. Going out to war, we read verse 31, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. The ox goad was a very unusual implement. It was a strong wooden pole about 8 feet in length. At one end was a sharp metal which was used in order to prod the oxen. And at the other end there was a spade. It was used for scraping off the soil and the dirt that accumulated upon the plow. If it had been allowed to remain, it would have interfered with the plow's efficiency. You see, this ox goad, it cleansed the plow, enabling it to work more effectively, enabling him to plow a straight furrow. And the Word of God is like an ox goad. When applied, it cleanses the life, clearing away the dirt and the filth. It enables us to plow a straighter furrow. Indeed, the Lord Jesus, praying for his disciples, he said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify there simply means to cleanse or to set apart. In other words, he was saying here, the word of God, when it was applied, it would cleanse them. Again, the Lord said in chapter 15, in the verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You see, this book today, when it's taken and it's read and it's applied, it not only convicts us, it cleanses us. It keeps us from sin. Just as you can't apply a piece of sandpaper to a piece of wood without affecting it, so you cannot apply the word of God to your heart without it scraping away those rough edges. You think again of the laver and how it was filled with water, which spoke of the word of God, and the priest coming and washing at the laver. What did it do? It took away the dirt, the filth. The manna in the Old Testament speaks of the word of God. What happened when they digested it? It cleansed them. You see, that's why some believers never read their Bible. That's why it gathers dust from Sunday evening to Sunday morning. Because they know that if they read the Bible will reveal to them their faults. And like the ox goad, it will begin to prick them. It'll begin to prod them. It'll begin to make them feel uncomfortable in life. You see, believer, if only you take this book and you read this book and you pray over this book, you begin to see your own faults. So much so, you'll be forgetting about everybody else. And seeing those faults, you'll find power and strength to put them even away. Oh, take the Word of God. Apply it to your heart. When you go home today, your job is not over. But think upon the Word. Apply it even to your heart. It not only was a cleansing instrument, it was a channeling instrument. The word goad here in verse 31 comes from a Hebrew verb meaning to instruct or to teach. Having a sharp metal point, it was used to stir up the old lazy oxen and to keep him going as he pulled the plow through the field. And getting him going, it was then used to teach him or to direct him in the way he should go. And you see, the Word of God not only purifies the soul, it prods the soul. It stirs up the soul, directing it in the way we should go. Indeed, the psalmist said in Psalm 119 in the verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As the torch or the lamp throws light upon your path, revealing what is in front of you." So he was saying that if only they took the Word of God and they turned it and they shone it upon themselves, it would reveal to them their lives and their hearts. God directs us through His Word. It prods us. Don't you know that? Haven't you felt that as you've sat in meetings or read the Scriptures? You've felt it prodding you? But more than that, it pounds you. Many years ago in England, there was a man by the name of Goodman. He was going on a long journey. And so he came before God and he sought the Lord. And he said, "Lord, should I go on this journey or should I not go on this journey?" In his daily readings, he was reading Psalm 37. And he read those words, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And of course, his name being Goodman, he took it was of the Lord for him to go. You see, this book will guide you. When you become slow and obstinate, it'll prod you. Can you imagine there the oxen and the plowman taking it and digging it into the old oxen? It would have felt it. And maybe as you have sat in the house of God, as you have read the Scriptures, you have felt God prodding you. It has pierced your heart. And maybe God has been guiding you. Oh, believer, don't dig in your heels. God wants to guide you. Submit to it. I think also was a conquering instrument, verse 31, which slew the Philistines, 600 men, with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel, wielding it around his head and bringing it down upon the Philistine's skull. My, this old ox goad was more effective than any sword, cracking open their skulls. He that day slew 600 Philistines. And the Bible's a deadly weapon. It is able to overcome every enemy. When the devil came to attack the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He took the book and he said, "It is written." And we find the devil retreating. Believer, are you in the midst of trials and temptations? Do you feel yourself being pulled today in a wrong direction? Then get into the Word of God. It'll prick you, it'll prod you, it'll pound you, and enable you to get the victory. Can you imagine those old Philistines coming out to the field, looking down, there's just an old farmer, and then they see the old farmer taking the ox goad, wielding it. And what do you think they would have wanted to do? They would have wanted to take that ox goad off him. If they could get the ox goad off him, he was powerless. What's the devil out to do today? He's out to get the Bible away from you. And sadly, sometimes that's not a hard battle, is it? We're a little tired, so we throw it to the side. Believer, don't let the devil take your weapon from you. This book gives the victory. Not only the weapon he employed, but I want you to notice lastly, the warfare he encountered. Going into battle, notice there the Philistines he slew. Look at verse 31. So full of thoughts. Which slew the Philistines, 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. The ox goad was long. It was heavy. It was cumbersome. The question therefore arises, how was this man able to use this ox goad with such deadly effect? It was because he was a plowman. He was a man who was using the ox goad every day of his life. It was never out of his hand. And using it every day, he was now able to use it with great effect. You see, unless this book is in our hands every day, we'll not be able to use it with much effect. Isn't the old saying true? Practice makes perfect. In Acts 17, we read concerning the Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily. The Bible was never out of their hand, and it most certainly was never out of their minds. And believer, we're engaged in a battle against the world, a battle against the devil, a battle against our own sinful flesh. And if we're going to overcome, we need to know the book. We need to be in it every day. We need to know it inside out so that when Satan comes, we're able to grab that scripture. And by with great effect, we're able to sling it back at him. Oh, are you skilled in the use of the book? Not only the Philistines he slew, notice the people he saved. Verse 31, and he also delivered Israel, slaying the Philistines. The grass was broke upon the land, and being broken, he delivered his people. And this Bible is not only able to slay, but it's able to save. Paul or Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God. Do you want to see your family saved? Do you long to see your neighbors saved, to see your friends brought into the kingdom? Then, my friend, put this seed, put this book in their hearts. Put it in their minds, carefully, skillfully, drop it, and God will do the rest. I think lastly there was a position he secured in comparison to Ehud, who slew 10,000 Moabites. Shamgar only slew 600. In chapter 5, we are told in the days of Shamgar, the travelers walked through byways. Despite his efforts, the Philistines had still such a hold upon the land that the people were still afraid to walk openly on the highways. And while his achievements may not have been as great as those of Ehud, yet we find the Lord here recording him, and by recording him, honoring him, rewarding him, even for his service. You see, God rewards us not according so much to our achievements as to our ability. And of course, the greater our ability, then the greater things he'd be expecting from us. Here was a man. He looked out. Looked out. He lifted his eyes. He could see those old Philistines coming. He could see their banners fluttering in the breeze. He could see the hatred in their eyes. He looked around and there was not a man, not a man to stand by his side. He had no sword, no spear, but he took his old ox goad and he said, here I stand, I can do no other. And wielding it in the power of God, He wrought a great victory. Oh, believer, today you may feel alone, but God can take an individual. God can take you, and God can use you. But I wonder, are you willing to take your stand? Are you willing today to say, Lord, here I am? Way back in 1760, John Wesley preached a sermon entitled The Use of Money. And in the sermon he said, gain all you can, save all you can, give all you can. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the times you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as you can. And I wonder, believer, today, is that your determination? God had given this man a field. It was his field. God had given it to him to plow it, to plant it, and to reap its harvest. And believer, this morning, God has given to you a field. And I wonder, are you plowing it? Are you planting it? Are you looking for a glorious harvest? May God help us to stand and to serve the Lord. We're going to close our service this morning by singing the hymn 185, keeping our seats. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am. Hymn 185, we're keeping our seats while we sing. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this precious book that thou hast given to us. We thank thee for that day when it rebuked us. We thank thee for that day when thou didst take it and hide it in our hearts. And we rejoice, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We recognize, Lord, it does rebuke us, but we rejoice also it encourages us and it strengthens us. And we pray, Lord, enable us to stand fast and to stand firm and to serve thee, and give us, Lord, a glorious harvest, even in this little land. For these things we pray, in thy name, and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. I want to ask for Brother Jesus.